Well, we hope that not having the Saturday evening mass anywhere here in Jackson County yesterday did not inconvenience folks too much. Creatures of habit as we are, there are probably some folks who didn't remember until they came to an empty parking lot. As most of you know, we had the historic diocesan assembly yesterday, where over 13,000 people gathered at the Breslin Center in East Lansing. That's about 20% of the active church-going Catholics in our 80 parish diocese. In other words, about one of every five of you who regularly go to Mass was at the Breslin Center yesterday. That's pretty impressive. Even more, St. John was recognized at the assembly as the parish who brought in the most parishioners in the whole of the Jackson Vicariate, with over 350 of us there. And thanks to just the lay leadership here, Shane Slough, rallying the troops, all our parish representatives, the 51 parish representatives, asking their fellow parishioners if they want to come along. And so kudos to them for such a great execution of this event. And the bishop desires that all the participants take the experience back to our brothers and sisters in our parish who couldn't make it by sharing about it with you in the coming weeks. I think I spoke to enough people throughout the day who were just bubbling with excitement and felt the tremendous energy of the people there that it was truly an incredibly inspiring time for us as a parish and for us as a diocese. For most folks, I didn't even have to ask, you know, are you finding this worthwhile? They were seeking me out, the young and the not so young, saying how they wish everybody in our parish could experience what they did and how much they really needed it. Many of them not knowing beforehand that they really needed it. And many beforehand not knowing that you could experience, really experience the very Spirit of God flowing among his people so palpably, consoling them, healing them, inspiring them. I can say that for me as a pastor, there isn't many things more beautiful than seeing people in our own parish family whom I've never seen smile or maybe even have a sourpuss expression on their face come up to me just beaming. You know that the unmistakable joy of the Lord had come upon them because it transforms our countenance, even our countenance, so that the interior experience that we have overflows into a visible expression of it. For me, the day began with two of our three buses leaving here at St. John at 7:15 a.m. I gave them a pilgrimage blessing and doused them with holy water. They left at that time in order to make the four-mile Eucharistic procession from St. Mary's Cathedral in Lansing to the Breslin Center in East Lansing. It's an awesome sight to see thousands of our local lay faithful walk down one of Lansing's main drags. You know, the police had to stop all the traffic all along Michigan Avenue so that the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings could be brought down in procession to be with his people of southern central Michigan. While I saw this beginning, I didn't get to take part in the procession because I had priest greeter duty at the Breslin Center. I had to be among the many volunteers welcoming people who were coming in early or not taking part in the procession. And at Breslin, there were booths from, you know, informative exhibits on the Shroud of Turin and the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe to great resources in how to grow in our faith. So once the procession arrived, after some praise and worship we had, our three dynamic speakers began. Oh, and we did have a tailgate thanks to the Knights of Columbus. We had a tailgate lunch there outside Breslin Center. But then our three speakers began. I'll just have to share a few words, the essence of their message, so as to go in detail at another time. But the first of the three speakers was the ever-popular Father Mike Schmitz. I was handing out a lot of materials during that time. I saw even the Mr. Tough Guys to cry in tears because of how moved they were. And he was talking about how all of us can attain true happiness because authentic joy, what's authentic joy? The deep, abiding sense of well-being, right? Not the fleeting stuff. How authentic joy can be had by each and every one of us. Because authentic joy, it's not a result of some set of circumstances. It's not the result of material riches and getting dealt the right hand in life. Those things might give you pleasure, might give you status, might give you honor, but it doesn't give what we know as joy, that deep and abiding sense of well-being, no matter what you might be going through. And so maybe we need a little paradigm shift on what true happiness is, right? Because up there, even on the cross, Jesus possessed true happiness. True happiness is a gift. It's a gift of God offered to everyone, but everyone has to receive it. And someone who eventually did receive it, who accepted it after a spirited fight against Christianity as an ardent atheist, was the second speaker we had, the captivating Jennifer Fulweiler. It took time for this cerebral, skeptical, and cynical woman, as she describes herself, to allow God to break in. But her search for truth and meaning led her to an open heart, an open mind, to Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. She's a wonderful writer. I'd encourage you to read her books and look her up on her story online. And then the final speaker before Mass, Deacon Larry Oney, gave us an incredible rah-rah rallying cry that would give Eric Thomas a run for his money, you know, the motivational speaker. He encouraged us to reveal the true church to the world, which has been obscured by the sins of its shepherds. Today's gospel, isn't it poetic? Because it talks about how Jesus chose these 12 ordinary guys, far from perfect guys, to be his first shepherds. 12 guys who just didn't get it at first. Jesus had just finished repeating to them again, by the way, that this guy that they considered the Messiah, has to suffer and die. One ear and out the other, once again. It just doesn't register with them, because what are they talking about amongst themselves right after that? Who will be the greatest among them? They were jockeying for power and prestige already. Why in the world would you choose this set of guys to be your inner circle, the first shepherds of your people? They were not the intelligentsia of the time. They were not the politically savvy. They were not of high social status. They were not the movers and shakers. Some were simple fishermen. One of the men he even knew would betray him. There were guys who would have hated each other if it were not for Jesus, right? Take Simon the Zealot in one opposite extreme, part of that revolutionary movement, the most radical among those who wanted freedom from the Roman Empire. And in that same 12 was one of the most detested groups, a member of one of the most detested groups in Jewish society, the tax collector. We just celebrated Matthew's feast day on Friday. That's what we had this image up for the school children. It's the calling of St. Matthew. And I explained to the kids during that school mass why they didn't like tax collectors back then. They made their riches by how much they could overcharge people on their taxes. So they were seen as sellouts to the Romans and as swindlers. So Jesus was bringing on the same team of folks who belonged to groups who were worse than the circus politics between the Democrats and Republicans. Imagine that, right? So why in the world would you choose this set of guys to be your inner circle, the first shepherds of your people again? Well, that revealed to the world that it was not going to be by their own natural powers that he would bring about the work of healing and salvation, but by the power of the Holy Spirit working in them, the power of the Holy Spirit that would bring a broken and bitterly divided humanity together to repent of their respective hatred and false beliefs and to a life of conversion to the way of Jesus, this way of goodness and of truth, of beauty and of love. It's also a prophetic move in that he can still accomplish his divine will even amidst the church leaders throughout history and still today, as we have seen. successors of the apostles who just don't get it at first. It's right that we pursue justice and accountability from our shepherds, but before we cast that first stone, this gospel's lesson and the behavior of those first apostles applies to us too, doesn't it? Because how many times have we heard the gospel and don't pay attention to it? How many times have we heard the gospel? How many lengths have we celebrated where Jesus reminds us that he has to suffer and to die, and that anyone who wishes to follow him must take up his cross and follow him? And we still pursue the world's temptations and neglect our vocation as missionary disciples. All of this culminated with the Holy Mass with Bishop Boyer and most of the priests of the Diocese of Lansing, where the bishop gave our path forward as God's people here in southern central Michigan. Like Archbishop Vigneron's clarion call to the Archdiocese of Detroit, southeast Michigan, Bishop Boyer reminded us of our call to be missionary disciples. The bishop reminded us that the gospel of the day reveals that we don't have an excuse, right? Oh, Father, we're just simple folks. You know, we don't have what it takes to be evangelists. Look who Jesus called. We don't have the education, we don't have the formation. Called simple fishermen who didn't get it for a while. The bishop also addressed another excuse. Oh, Father, I'm not holy enough to be a missionary disciple. You don't know my past. I'm a great sinner. Well, what happened with Peter? When Jesus hopped into his boat, they got the great catch. And instead of Peter saying, whoopee, Jesus, can you be my partner in the Peter Fishing Company? No. He realized just the heck who was in front of him. And he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. And what does Jesus say? Don't be afraid. From now on, I make you fishers of men. Look at the woman at the well, married 5 times. Look at St. Mary Magdalene, from whom 7 demons were cast out. St. Paul, who was hell-bent on throwing Christians into jail. Don't tell me you're too sinful to be a missionary disciple. It's obvious that it's not you that's going to accomplish the work, but God the Holy Spirit working in and through you, if you are so willing. As St. Paul says, it's no longer I, but Christ living in me. And the ironic thing is, the more Christ lives in you, the more you become you. That's when you discover your deepest and truest self, as Paul did, as Mary Magdalene did, as Jennifer Fulweiler did. Perhaps I'll ask a couple of parishioners to share their experiences before Mass in the future, but I just want to share with you one parishioner who shared online. Betsy Howell, who bravely took her 4 kids with her, had this to say, and I can't replicate all the emoticons and the exclamation points, but this is what she said. It was a super cool day at Made for Happiness, Jazzy Hands. It was for sure not without its stressful moments, but I had some great help. No one peed in their pants. I had never such an incredible, physically exhausting, but spiritually fulfilling day in my whole life. Heart. It was so clear that from the start that God was with us the whole way. The speakers were so inspiring. The music was just incredible, all caps. And I learned so much from the Shroud of Turin exhibit. Wish we could have done more. So amazing. One of those experiences where you just feel on fire with love for God and thankfulness for all his blessings. Unquote. So thank you for those words, Betsy. She already went to Mass last night, so. But she who bravely took her kids with her, right? You know something supernatural is going on when a mother of four is saying at the end of the day that began at 7:15 a.m. on the school bus after getting the kids ready, that by the end of it, she said, "Wish we could have done more." So that's just an overview of our momentous gathering that is the third of the three diocesan assemblies that began in 2014 as our diocesan response to the challenge of the new evangelization. I remember that well because it was at that 2014 diocesan assembly. It happened shortly after I arrived here at St. John as your pastor. We've striven since then to put the new evangelization into practice, and as you can tell, it's borne abundant fruit. I mean, with over 350 people at this past assembly. Together, we've witnessed a resurgence of the faith in our parish, people discovering that they can have an intimate relationship with the living God, being healed of past hurts, and many people taking advantage of our various faith formation events like Alpha, which, by the way, begins this Tuesday, October 9th, Pub Alpha at Grand River Brewery. So that's a perfect way to become a missionary disciple. Thinking of someone to invite and accompanying them on those five Tuesday nights along with their exploration of the person of Jesus Christ while having a great dinner, free dinner with it, right? So what is next for our parish and for our diocese? Well, it's this year of prayer that begins this very day because we continually have to go back to the source if we're going to be missionary disciples. And so if you take there should be holy cards in your pew, the year of prayer, and we'll be saying this prayer as the conclusion of our prayer of the faithful each time, each Mass, for this next year that will end on the end of November, basically, the Feast of Christ the King of next year. But on the other side, too, is some various ways that you can observe this year of prayer depending on your stage in life, right? Married with children at home, married empty nesters, married retired, single. That very last one, make a pilgrimage to a holy shrine or Eucharistic chapel to pray for the Holy Spirit. To guide our parishes. We'll make a couple of pilgrimages to local shrines here in Michigan, but we're going to culminate all of it for those that can go and who've always wanted that once-in-a-lifetime experience of going to the Holy Land. Todd Gale and I will be leading a pilgrimage to the Holy Land from November 13 to the 22nd. November 13 to the 22nd. And we will be going with someone who comes with a bit of a premium price, but is worth it because he insists on making it a prayerful experience instead of being herded around like cattle everywhere without praying. And that's with Steve and Janet Ray. So that's, more information about that later. But let us now enter into this time of vocation. The church needs us more than ever. As Deacon Larry Oney says, let's reveal to the world the true church. The one whose head is that man on the cross.